Today we begin a new series, the book of Romans. Not really. But we do begin a new series entitled Reminders. And I'm going to kick off the series this morning, and then each of the staff are going to remind us of something each week. Next week, Matt's going to share. The following week, Jamie will be sharing with us a reminder. And then Neil will share, and then Pastor Vic will wrap up the series of reminders. As I begin to think about reminders, I was made aware of a lot of things. First of all, some reminders are better than other reminders. When was the last time you looked in the mirror? You see, when I look in the mirror, I see the guy sort of on the left. I view myself as young, but when I look in the mirror, I'm reminded that I'm not as young as I used to be. I have bags under my eyes. I could lose a little bit of weight. There's a lot more gray in my beard than has ever been there. I'm not that 18-year-old that I used to be. I'm reminded, and you know, when I think of that, it's not a really exciting thing to see and be reminded of my age. When I look back on old family pictures, I'm reminded that I'm not as young as I used to be. I really did have hair. I really was young. Diane has not aged at all, but I have changed a lot, and I'm reminded of that when I see those pictures. Now, looking back on the same pictures is also kind of fun. It reminds me of that wedding day, September 7th, 1985, when an 18 and a 19-year-old said, I do. Coming up on 35 years, it's amazing, and it's so fun. And then you look at the different picture albums, and you're reminded of family vacations or different activities that you did with your children. They're great reminders. I love looking back at photos of especially our Israel trips that we've taken. And in 2019, this is us. There's a little bit of difference between the two pictures, isn't there? But here we are standing on the snake trail coming down Masada. You've got the Dead Sea in the background. I see that and it just reminds me. It's a great reminder of where we've been. Or maybe it was the hike up to En Gedi, the oasis and cave where King David hid from Solomon, or from King Saul, when David hid there. Beautiful journey up there. Or maybe it's the overlook on the Mount of Olives where we're looking over the old city of Jerusalem. I see these photos and it just brings back good things. It's a reminder of where we've been and what we've done. Just recently, I came across the obituary for my mother. This year will be 10 years since she had passed. And reading over that obituary, it just brought back just reminders of who she was and the things that we've done together. And I wondered, would her Facebook page still be active? It wasn't, but there were still some photos from her Facebook page that others had tagged. And I found this photo of my mom and my dad. This was taken, I don't know, obviously more than 10 years ago, probably 12 or 13, 14 years ago. Great picture of my mom. And just a reminder of who she is and her love for us three boys that she raised. She was a little lady, but she had a way to take care of us boys. Brought back good memories. There are all kinds of reminders which bring back good thoughts and good memories. Maybe it's a wedding ring. It reminds us of those commitments, those vows that we made to our spouse. And it's a reminder to keep those commitments. Maybe it's a family reunion where you go meet back with all the family and you're reminded of where you came from and who you belong to. Perhaps it's a song that you hear and it reminds you, this is our song. You know, when you were dating, you probably had a song and this is ours. The other night, Brandy and my niece Alexis and I were sitting by the fire pit. It was on that really hot day. It was not hot enough, so we built a fire. And we're sitting around reminiscing about music. And you know, last Sunday I said something about we should have started the service sermon off with Barry Manilow's "Looks Like We Made It." I asked my daughter, "Are you familiar with Barry Manilow?" "Dad, I'm only 20-something." But we began reminiscing over songs in the past, and it just brought up old memories. How about a trophy or a medal? Reminds you of that first place or participation nowadays. My grandson and granddaughter were over earlier in the week, and out in the mudroom, we have two medals hanging for where Diane and I ran the Jordan Lake Trail run last year. We got medals for it, and he wanted to know what they were, but he didn't want to wear one. But it was a reminder of, oh yeah, we ran that. Reminders. No doubt there are many reminders of things that are wonderful in our lives, and then there are other reminders that, well, they bring back challenging moments. Reminders are kind of interesting. And this morning, as I preach this message to you, I want to remind us of who we are, a vision statement. I want to remind you of these three incredible words: inform, illustrate, and instruct. A few years back, the KLT, the leadership team, and I reworked our vision statement, and you've heard me preach about it before. In 2018, I preached a couple messages on this particular statement, and I want to review that with us again this morning. But something I want to tell us about reminders before we look at the scripture: a reminder is not some new thought or idea. Not a new thought or idea. Rather, a reminder is something that calls a memory back to the forefront of our minds. So throughout this series this month, you're not going to hear probably anything brand new or something that you didn't know, because we're reminding you of things that you already know, but maybe just need to have your memory jogged and think about them again. Peter writes in 2 Peter 1, verse 12, "So I will remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have." So I'm going to take this passage, and I want to remind you of things even though you know them. So don't check out on us this morning or the next few weeks. You need to have your memory jogged. The vision statement, again, you're familiar with. You've seen it many, many times in the bulletin. But listen to it one more time. Kilpatrick Church exists for our community. Our commitment to the community is to, one, inform them of God's love by boldly sharing our faith. To illustrate the Christian life by living out our faith daily. To instruct believers in practices of discipleship. I want to unpack the three I's: inform, illustrate, and instruct. What does it mean to inform? To inform simply means to tell, to make something known to someone, to enlighten, to communicate knowledge to. Now that's what it means to inform. And folks, you and I have made a commitment as a church to inform our community of something. Where do we get this? Well, Jesus says, go preach the gospel. Go preach the gospel. We might say this: go inform people of the gospel. What is the message we have that we should inform others about? The gospel. What is the gospel all about? God's love, right? God's love. Do you know that God loves you? Does your community around you know God loves them? See, we have made a commitment that we are going to boldly share our faith. We're going to inform our community of God's love. Very quickly, let's look to the scripture and see if we can discover if God really loves us. Okay? Think with me about Israel. The Israelites had been captive, enslaved in Egypt for over 400 years. God delivers them miraculously from Egypt. They come to the Red Sea, and God parts the Red Sea. They walk across on dry ground. The Egyptian soldiers follow. God pulls the water right back over them. Moses and the people of Israel sang a song to God and praised him for, listen, his unfailing love. We're going to see from both Old and New Testaments, God is a God who loves people. On another instance, Moses is on Mount Sinai meeting with God. God is delivering him the Ten Commandments. And God reveals this about himself. He says, I am a God who is abounding in love. If you're abounding in love, you're not about to run out. You have an abundance. You have a lot. You have plenty of it. And God says, this is who I am. I am a God who is abounding in love. Further in Deuteronomy, Moses reminds the people, God chose you because he loved your forefathers. He loved them. Again, what we're seeing is that God is a God who loves. And this is the message we have to share with our community. The Queen of Sheba comes to meet King Solomon, and she speaks of God's eternal love. Move on into the Psalms, and you discover many statements that talk about God's love for us. In fact, six times the writer of the Psalms says that God has a love that is a great love. Not just a little bit of love. It's a great love. Move on into the New Testament. We discover that not only is God's love great, but that God is love. That's who he is. It's his character. So not only does he love, but he is love personified. Now, how does he demonstrate that? 1 John 4, 9. This is how God showed his love among us. Listen what he did. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that God that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Another passage says that God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Imagine a holy, pure, sinless God choosing to die in the place of sinful people. Doesn't happen, does it? But it did, because God loves us. Church, this is the message we have to share with our community. This is the message that we have made a commitment to share, that God loves them. The Creator loves you personally. And it's because of his love for the whole world, think John 3:16, that we have the reality of being forgiven of sins, of our deadness spiritually being brought to life, and our relationship with God made right by grace through faith. So our message is, God loves you. And he wants to change your life. He wants to transform you. And we have made a commitment to inform our community of God's love by boldly sharing our faith. Boldly sharing our faith. Second, we've made a commitment to illustrate the Christian life by living out our faith daily. What does it mean to illustrate? To illustrate is to demonstrate. It's a visible or observable demonstration. You remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? You are the light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You know what Jesus is saying here? Be an illustration. Demonstrate the Christian faith by the way you live your life daily. When Diane and I were first married, I worked with my dad. He had a machine shop. And when I started working for him and he taught my two brothers and I all to run the machines, I didn't know how to run a lathe or a mill. In fact, I probably didn't know which was what when I started. But he taught us. He taught us how to read the plans for the parts, how to make the parts. He showed us on the machines how to run them. This is the power button. Here's the lever to feed it forward. Here's the lever to feed it frontwards and backwards. And here's how you change the speeds. He didn't just say, okay, here's a button. Here, watch this, pull this lever, do that. He illustrated how to do it. He put his hands on the machine. Watch, here's how you start it. Here's how you tighten things up and pull this lever. And then when it gets to a certain point, you push that lever and it's a break and you pull this one. And then he says, now you do it. And we would begin trying to do it. And then if we didn't get it right, he would say, no, let me show you. Let me do it again. Let me illustrate. Let me demonstrate again how to do this. He taught us by illustration. Folks, as a church, we have made a commitment to our community to illustrate the Christian life. In other words, what we are saying to the community around us is, watch me. You know, there's several memes that go around, you can't do that, and what's the deal? Hold my beer. Well, we're not going to say that to our community, but we are going to say, watch me. Let me illustrate to you what it means to be a Christian. That's a little intimidating to think that we are saying to our community, watch me. But Jesus says, or God says in his word, be an example. Illustrate it. That's what we are called to do. And we are to boldly share our faith and illustrate it as we live daily. Remember what Paul says in Romans 1:16? I am not ashamed of the gospel. Folks, if we are ashamed of the gospel, we will not inform and we certainly will not illustrate what the gospel is. Thinking through this picture of illustration, here's a thought for us. The Christian life is illustrated by the way I conduct myself in the public square. The Christian life is illustrated by my actions in the grocery store, at a restaurant, with my neighbors, at the place of business. Am I impatient? Am I angry? Am I rude? Am I unkind? If I am, that says something. That illustrates something. The other day, I was on my very normal trek through the drive-thru at McDonald's. Right now, I'm on the iced caramel coffee kick. There were two cars in front of me. Two cars in front of me. That person ordered, pulled up and paid. The person in front of me ordered, pulled up and paid. I ordered. Two cars in front of me pulled up to get their food. The lady in front of me just happened to be a lady, sorry. She pulled up a little bit and left one or two car lengths between her and the car getting their food. I couldn't pull up enough to pay. And she just sat there. And something began to rise. Of course, my window was down. I wanted to stick my hand out and not do what you just thought. I wanted to wave her, move forward. Come on. That's what I'm feeling. I kept my hand in the car. I didn't say anything. And then I was convicted. You're very impatient. And I says, God, would you help me not to be so impatient? It isn't a big deal. I really was glad when she did move forward. But I could have illustrated something that was not Christ, couldn't I? Do you illustrate Christ everywhere you go? The Christian life is illustrated by the way I conduct myself in the public square. A couple more thoughts on this. In order to illustrate, I must have knowledge about what I am to illustrate. If I don't know what it means to be a Christian or what the Christian life looks like, I can't illustrate it. How can I learn what the Christian life looks like? I've got to be in this book, right? This is my guide. This is my instruction manual. This is where I learn what it means to live like Jesus. I must know what it means to illustrate it if I'm going to illustrate it. One other thought. When I live in a way that does not demonstrate or illustrate Christ, it gives the world around me fuel to say, yep, there's another hypocrite. Another person that claims to be a Christian, but that wasn't very Christ-like. We are called and we've committed to illustrate the Christian life by living it out daily. Then we've committed to instruct. Instruct believers in the practices of discipleship. What does it mean to instruct? It means to teach. To provide authoritative information. To provide authoritative information. As Jesus was finishing up his earthly journey, he made this statement, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. The words make disciples are in the imperative form, which means it's a command. It's not an option. Go and make disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner. That's really what the word means, a learner. You and I are to be learners of Christ, and then we are to teach others about Christ. Teach others what it looks like to live a Christian life. We're to teach others what the scripture has to say. And you say, well, I'm not capable of doing that. Wait a minute. I understand we're all at a different place on the journey. There are people who are maybe more mature than we are spiritually, and there are people who aren't as mature. Maybe they're newer. We're all in that journey somewhere, and we can be learning and should be learning, and we can then relay what we've learned to someone else about what it means to be a follower of Christ. This is part of discipleship. That's what we're called to do. Instructing others in practices of discipleship means that I must be a disciple. I must be a learner. I can't just say, let me teach you something, and you don't know what you're going to teach. You have to know what you're going to teach. Let me tell you, we have an opportunity coming up in September. Vic is going to be going through again. He's taken several through it already. Something called Deeper Journey. It's a several-week study where you learn what it means to be a disciple and how to be a disciple maker, one who is a discipler. This is what we are called to do, and I would encourage you to take advantage of learning what it means to be a disciple and having a systematic way of helping others in their faith. One other thought about discipleship. Discipleship involves spiritual disciplines. You say, what are spiritual disciplines? This is not an exhaustive list, but it includes prayer, the reading and studying of Scripture, meditation upon Scripture. Spiritual disciplines include fasting. That means don't eat. It means solitude, self-denial. Say, why? Well, it's through these disciplines that we learn more about God, we draw nearer to God, we grow in our faith, and we're then better equipped to come alongside someone else and do life with them and help them to become a disciple of Christ. We have made a commitment that we will instruct believers in the practice of discipleship. Inform, illustrate, and instruct. Let me go back to our vision statement, and I want to do just share a little bit of application here for us this morning. Kilpatrick Church exists for our community. Our commitment to the community is to inform them of God's love by boldly sharing our faith, to illustrate the Christian life by living out our faith daily, to instruct believers in the practices of discipleship. Here's the application I want to just press in on this morning for a few moments. When we think of community, we often think of, in our area, the Lakewood area or the little borough that you live in. But I want to suggest to you this morning that your community, my community, begins at home. That's where it starts, at home. Yes, we have to reach out into the distant community, but it begins at home. So let me talk to you, mom, dad, grandparents. You have a responsibility in your home to inform, to illustrate, and instruct. I'm reminded of what is written in Deuteronomy 6. These commandments that I give you today, this is God speaking, are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frame of your houses and on your gates. Impress them on your children. It's the idea of leaving a permanent mark, putting your thumb print in the clay and it dries and it's there. It also can be that of using a whetstone to sharpen a blade to a razor's edge. Impress these things upon your children, on your grandchildren. Parents and grandparents, our children and grandchildren are watching us. And here's the crazy thing about kids. You can't fool them. If you're saying one thing and doing another, they see it. If you're not walking the talk, they notice. If you're one thing at church and another thing at home, they won't miss that. It is vital that we are consistent, parents, grandparents, because we have this responsibility to inform, illustrate, and instruct our children and our grandchildren. And there is no better place to do this than at home. Clearly, that's not the only place, but your community begins there. And then you begin to extend it outside the walls of your house. Paul says in Colossians 4, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Folks, the people that we are in contact with, everyone we are in contact with, should see the three I's in action in our lives. Inform, illustrate, and instruct. I'm reminding you of that. And now for one last piece to help remind you of our responsibility, I'm going to ask you to read this with me. Can you do that? Or will you do that? I know you can. Let's read it together, beginning with Kilpatrick Church. Here we go. Kilpatrick Church exists for our community. Our commitment to the community is to inform them of God's love by boldly sharing our faith, illustrate the Christian life by living out our faith daily, instruct believers in the practices of discipleship. Now, I didn't tell you anything you didn't know this morning, but I hope I brought back to the forefront of your mind something that you know. And my prayer is that each of us will take this seriously. And as we sang this morning, we've got to go. We've got to go. We have a community, our home, and our neighborhoods who need these three eyes lived in front of them. May God help us to do that. Let's pray. Father, this morning we've been reminded of something we know. I pray this morning that, beginning with me, that you will help me to take this deeply to heart. Thank you for reminding me of my responsibility to inform, to illustrate, and instruct. God, you've granted us our homes, you've granted us this community to share these truths with. May we be diligent about it. May your Holy Spirit walk with us as we travel this day, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The third person that came to my mind was a Sunday school teacher that I've mentioned her to you before, Virginia Evans. Virginia Evans was about as plain as you could get. Always wore really long dresses, high collar, long sleeves, wire rim glasses. Her hair, she had braids and she would wrap them around the top of her head. As simple and plain as you could get. She knew the Bible. She loved Jesus with all of her heart, and she loved kids. She was our junior Sunday school teacher. Sister Evans would take us on bike hikes. She would do all kinds of stuff with us, and she taught us the stories of the Bible. I believe that a lot of my knowledge of the Old Testament stories come from her. She made it come alive. Unfortunately, today, I can't say thank you to any of those three. They're all with Jesus. Both Mamo and J. Lewis Emmert would have been in their 90s, close to 100 if they were alive. Virginia Evans would be probably close to 90 by now, if not older. But they're gone. I can't say thank you. I can't say kudos. You've impacted my life. There are two others that came to my mind, and I tried to call both of them last night to practice what I'm going to preach. You got to set a good example, right? One that came to my mind was the guy who ultimately became my brother-in-law, Don Chamberlain. We went to Bible college together. He's a little older than me, about 6 years, 7 years older than me. We were there at the same time, and we worked for a bus company, drove school bus. And there were a few times that we would have to take our buses back to the bus garage and finish our morning route. And he would say, "Hey, Rocky, you want to go get breakfast at Shoney's?" They had the breakfast buffet. I was a broke college student. He worked as the bus, and he also did security. And he paid for my breakfast. I had no idea that he would become my brother-in-law someday at that point. But we developed a friendship. He made a difference even if it was just food initially. But now we married sisters, and we call each other fairly regularly. When we're together, we have great conversation, biblical conversation, world conversation. We are friends. He's impacted my life, his friendship. The second person that came to my mind, actually the fifth person, was a man by the name of Ray Campbell. Ray Campbell and I began the ministerial program at God's Bible School in 1998. He's about 10 years older than I am. He had come to faith in Christ at the age of 40. God called him to preach. He was at his first church. I hadn't started pastoring yet, but was in training. We were the old guys with all these 19-year-old college freshmen. And here I was, 32, and he was 42. We connected. And then when I began to pastor, we were able to moan and groan and complain about what was going on and how hard it is. And we would run by each other. What about this message? And how would you deal with this? And on we would go. He lives in Virginia now. And again, we call. We can talk about anything. He's made an impact. His friendship has been good. In those moments when maybe I'm frustrated or down, he can speak into my life. I can do the same thing for him. And so I called. I left a message for Ray. He didn't answer his phone. My brother-in-law's phone went directly to voicemail. I wanted them to know I appreciated their influence, their impact in my life. What about you? Who has invested in your life? Who is it that has impacted your life at some juncture? Who is it that has been a positive influence in your life? Maybe for a season. When was the last time you said thank you to them? When was the last time you gave them kudos and said, you have made a difference? What about this? Who are you investing your life in so that someday somebody will give you kudos? Not that you're doing it for the kudos, but who will one day say kudos, thank you? Remember the song, was it Ray Bolts who sang it? Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that's been changed. Who has impacted your life and who are you impacting? Here's my challenge to you as we close this morning, finishing this book out. This week, I challenge you, reach out to the person or persons who have made a difference in your life and let them know how much you appreciate them. Would you do that? Maybe it's a call, maybe it's a text, maybe you send a note, email, whatever it is, I challenge you. Do what Paul did. Thank them while they're still alive for the impact they've made, whatever way that has been in your life. Give them kudos. Let's pray. Father, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you for the truths that we've learned through this series, this incredible letter that Paul wrote to the Romans under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the people who have made a difference in our lives. God, may we thank them before it's too late. Don't let us miss the opportunity to just say, thank you for, and we fill in the blank, what they've done, how they've impacted us. I pray for everyone in this congregation, Lord, and I just ask that you would spur them to do this. God, thank you for bringing those individuals in our lives who have encouraged us, who've provided in times of need. who've helped us, who've challenged us. We're grateful for them. We love you today. We ask that your Holy Spirit will guide us this week. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God bless. So great to see you this morning. Next Sunday morning, we begin a brand new series called Reminders. So look forward to seeing you August 2nd. Go live out your faith. Compensate for the part of me that was not functioning properly. For a time, I was on crutches, and my hands and my arms were taking over doing what my foot should have been doing. And in the midst of all of that, it was harder to get around. I couldn't run. Climbing stairs was challenging. My arms and hands became more weary than ever because they were doing things they weren't designed to do. And then I thought, imagine losing an arm or a leg or a finger, something, and it impacts the whole of the body. We're not complete. In the scripture, God has described the church as the body of Christ. And he says the body of Christ has many parts designed to help us function or help it function effectively. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, if you're a believer, you're a body part. Isn't that exciting? I don't know which part you are, but you are a body part and you are needed in order for the body of Christ to function at full capacity and greatest effectiveness. We complete one another when we are doing our part, carrying our load. It's part of God's design. Now, throughout the last 85 days, we have not been able to gather as the church, but let me tell you, we have not ceased being the church. Many of you, probably most of you, have been doing your part, whether it has been a Zoom prayer call or a Zoom small group meeting, phone calls, making masks, sending texts, surprising people anonymously with meals. It was really fun to, over that day or two period of time, when you started seeing somebody had food for us. Somebody made it available that we could go to CNR and have food anonymously. That's serving others, serving your community. Many of you did that. You connected on Facebook. You even participated in Sunday morning online church. We continue to be the church, and we've been unified throughout this whole time. But now that we're back together, it feels more complete, doesn't it? That's God's design. Here's my prayer. That during this time away from one another, that it has caused us to realize how much we actually need one another. It's really easy for us to come Sunday after Sunday and begin to take for granted those around us in the body of Christ. There's something that's missing when we aren't together. And my hope is that each of us will be more appreciative of the privilege that it is to meet as the body of Christ, and that we will never, ever again take it for granted. Because you see, truly, together we are better. Together we are wiser. Together we are cared for. Together we are more effective. Together we are happier. And together we are complete. I invite you to recite with me the opening scripture once again, and then I'll close in prayer. Recite with me on the screen. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Let's close in prayer. Father, it has been so good to be together with these people this morning, our family, the body of Christ. Thank you, God, that over these many, many days, we've continued to be the church, but it feels so good to be complete this morning as we meet together. Lord, we rejoice that we are gathered in this place. Now, as we go out, as we leave, remind us that we are still the church, that we are united that we are better together. May your Holy Spirit guide us this week, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.